Harihi Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so now chapter 42, Dhritarashtra's message. So therefore, now Sanjaya has been given a message by Dhritarashtra, and he's come. And basically, he said that Dhritarashtra wants peace, and all that, and the Pandavas are pious and all that, they never do anything wrong, so therefore, how is it possible that they could want this war that will destroy both sides? You know, why don't they act by virtue? Why don't they do the higher thing and work for the benefit of their cousins and for the dynasty and avoid this war? Right? So in other words, he's just avoided his position that it's his side that wants war. Yudhishthira wants peace, but the point is because now they deserve their kingdom back, Duryodhana won't give it back, so that means war. So if Yudhishthira wants the kingdom back, that means they're trying to say he's making war, when it's actually Duryodhana. This is, you see, the criminal mentality. They always switch it that, no, you're the cause of the bad. They always do that. The hall remains silent, right? Krishna smiled. The king's glass at each other. Dhritarashtra's messages were clear. The hall remained silent. Yudhishthira waited until Sanjaya had taken his seat and said, "What have I said that made you think I wanted war?" Sanjaya, "What man so cursed by the gods would choose war when peace could be made? The sons of Kunti will act only according to virtue and thus bring happiness to all. One who acts according to the dictates of the mind and senses follows the path leading to misery." Right? So Duryodhana is by his mind and senses, Dhritarashtra also. While the Pandavas are just acting by, you know, this is the things that have been laid out. This is our Kshatriya duty. This is how Kshatriya should act. This is how, you know, everything should be worked out. We become free from misery only when we are free from the longing to gratify our senses, right? So Pandavas have showed that they are willing to control their senses. But Duryodhana has never shown that he's willing to control his senses. Dhritarashtra and his foolish sons fail to understand this truth. Thus they act in ways that never bring happiness. Yudhishthira looked at Krishna, who smiled in approval. The Pandava stood up as he continued to speak. Appearing in his robes and ornaments like a golden banner, raised in honor of Indra. Having accepted the advice of his dull-witted son, who is wicked and addicted to sin, the king now laments. Why did he not heed Vidura's words, who desired only the Kuru's well-being? Right, because he says, one who acts for, you know, the dynasty, looking over their own personal things, that's the higher principle. And so Yudhishthira is saying, well, why didn't Dhritarashtra do that when Vidura said what should be done for the benefit of the whole dynasty? Like that. He didn't act at that time. Why did he not heed Vidura's words, who desired only the Kuru's well-being? To gain prestige for himself, Duryodhana seeks to deprive others of prestige. Right, his point is if no one else has prestige, then he has the only prestige. He can't handle that. He's prestigious, others are prestigious, and they all move together in that kind of culture. No, it has to be he's the only one that has prestige. He is jealous, wrathful, haughty, spiteful, and filled with lust. Dhritarashtra knows what his son has done, but still he chooses to follow him, thus forsaking both virtue and pleasure. He cannot hold his ill-gotten gains for long, although he wishes for unending prosperity. Right? It's material. It'll never last long anyway, so why work so hard for it? He and his son desire to rule the earth, undisputed. We have heard nothing to indicate that they have changed their minds. O Sanjaya, they now consider whatever of our wealth they possess to be rightfully theirs, right? So they never mentioned that, yes, come back, and as we had been stated before, that the agreement was if they lose at the gambling match, they go back to the forest. If they're not found, then they come back, and then we are giving them their kingdom back. Like that. Of course, even though everybody says astrologically it was correct, Duryodhana is thinking, no, there's still a few more months left, so we found them, and so we don't have to give it back. Even though everybody else, by astrological calculation, has shown that, no, it's the time was up. Yudhishthira indicated the kings who sat in a circle around the hall. All these monarchs know well how Duryodhana came to possess our kingdom. He and his brothers, along with the unintelligent Karna, think they can overcome us in battle. Obviously, they have not seen Arjuna with his Gandiva bow stretched to its limit, nor have they seen Bhima whirling his mace, or the twins with their swords in hand. Right. So when Arjuna came out on the battlefield, then he's just trying to keep them from stealing the cows. Then because they come to fight, then he deals back with them. So how much they're fighting, he's fighting back. They haven't seen him where he's angry and ready to win. And that was just Arjuna. They didn't see Bhima out there. Like, Bhima would have killed all their elephants like that. You know, in other words, at the end, he defeated them and, you know, used that mantra that put them all to sleep and things like that. But if it had been an actual battle, not one person would have gone back like that. So just that they're sitting there, you know, that's because he came out like that, he got defeated, he went back, he came twice. Duryodhana fought twice, Karna fought twice, he defeated them both times. And out of respect for Bhima and that, because they haven't declared war, they're just coming and being a little belligerent. And so then, you know, it's just good, clean fun among Kshatriyas. And so then, you know, the fighting goes on. But it wasn't like it was serious. They were serious. That's the thing. They were fighting to their best. But Arjuna was keeping up with them like that. So this is Yudhishthira's point. Sanjaya, you know the troubles we have borne at the Kuru's hands. Even so, I forgive them. Let there be peace between us. Right? So whatever is there, just let it go. Now just give us our kingdom back and we'll go on with life. But Duryodhana, one, he can't tolerate because he's so envious, and two, he can't believe anybody else will do that, because he would never do that. Even so, I forgive them. Let them return at Indraprastha to me, and they keep Hastinapur. Let Dhritarashtra return what is rightfully ours. Right? So like before, is that they had Hastinapur, Yudhishthira had Indraprastha, they both had half the kingdom, and life went on nicely. Sanjaya had delivered Dhritarashtra's message, but he now wished to speak on his own behalf. He was surprised to see the unusually peaceful Yudhishthira so inclined towards war. There can be no doubt that you are attached to virtue, O King of men. Why do you desire to destroy the Kurus? Death may come at any moment. It behooves all men to remain fixed on the path of truth. No one should even contemplate sin, for that may immediately lead one to hell. O Bharata, if the Kurus will not return your kingdom without war, would it not be better for you to live as a beggar than to seek to annihilate them? But they're Kshatriyas. They have to perform their duty. So that's why they said, just give us 5 villages. You know, that'll be the discussion. You give 5 villages, okay, then we can perform our Kshatriya duty. But if they're saying, oh no, it's all on truth and duty and all that, and following whatever is the virtue, but they as Kshatriyas have to perform their duty. Duryodhana is giving them no opportunity. So what is Sanjaya even talking about here? Indeed, you could live happily with Krishna and the Yadavas. Desire for wealth is the enemy of virtue. A wise man should shun it entirely. One who renounces desires and lives simply, even though devoid of wealth, shines like the sun and becomes famous in this world. But one who is a slave of desire, even if he obtains the earth, is ruined. So basically what he's saying, then he's just explained the Kuru's position. The Kurus have already, they're already ruined. I mean, even on their own, they'll all be destroyed. And Yudhishthira's already done all what he's talked about for 12 years. So his point is it's nice, but it's not actually appropriate. As Dhritarashtra's intimate servant, Sanjaya wanted to carry out his mission to secure peace. He knew the Kauravas could not win in a war, but he also doubted Yudhishthira's motives. Sanjaya was a spiritual disciple of Vyasadeva and had received many instructions from the Rishi. It seemed to him that Yudhishthira was allowing himself to be overpowered by material desire without considering what might be in his spiritual interests. Sanjay maintained a respectful tone. O son of Kunti, you have studied all the Vedas and performed asceticism. You have controlled your mind and senses, and you are dedicated to sacrifice and charity. Why are you now giving way to anger? You are already famous in this world as a man of the highest principles. You have presided over the Rajasuya and offered gifts to hundreds and of thousands of Brahmins. O king, do not let this go in vain by now committing a great sin. Do not act impelled by malice and thereby destroy the results of all your asceticism and sacrifice. Forbearance is surely best for you now, not the enjoyment gained at the cost of great men's lives. I mean, the only ones great there is Bhishma, Drona. Vidura won't be in the fight. And who else is that? And Kripa. It's only three. All the rest are not great men. What happens? What happiness do you think you will enjoy when you and your brothers have slain all your relatives? Even after gaining the earth, you will have to reap the results of your good and bad deeds. Happiness and distress will arise in due course. And in end, you will meet with decrepitude and death. O hearing, knowing all this, you should not fight. If your advisors would have you fight, then you should abandon them. Do not forsake the path that leads to the worlds of the gods and beyond. Yeah, you know, so if he's speaking from the spiritual platform, yes, it is correct. You can give up the whole world for self-realization, and on that platform he's correct. But here is that as Kshatriyas, then they have their duties to perform. Because Sanjaya is not necessarily saying this in the court of the Kurus. And neither is anyone in the court of the Kurus. I mean, it means there are those who are advising, like Bhishma and Drona, but and Vidura, but no one of the Kurus themselves, who are holding the power, are taking any of this at all. So then he's looking, okay, the one who can do it, then he should, like that, if you're looking at that aspect. But what we ultimately have to see is then what happens to all these demoniac forces that are building up on the earth. Sanjaya sat down again, and Yudhishthira thought before replying. The sound of the jeweled fountains in the gardens just outside made a gentle cascading resonance. Temple bells chimed in the distance. Fragrant incense bellowed through the hall. The kings awaited Yudhishthira. Finally, he said, "It is undoubtedly as you say. One should never stray from virtue. But before blaming me, you should first ascertain whether it is virtue or vice they follow. Sometimes virtue may look like vice, and vice as virtue. One can discriminate between the two only after careful deliberation. All men should follow the duties prescribed for them, according to their respective social positions," right? So that's the point there. Everybody should do their duties according, because so if you say you have to be without avarice, you know, or without desire, but desire means performing the duties that you're given without a desire for material benefit. You're simply performing your duties because they must be done. That's the whole point. It doesn't mean, okay, I want to do this. Let's say I want to cook a nice lunch for Krishna. You can say, oh, that's with desire. But no, it's the duty, and you're doing it to please the Supreme. And so it's not for your own benefit. So in this case, for the Pandavas, it's not for their own benefit they're running the kingdom. It's that it's their duties as Kshatriyas that they should be doing these things, and they're doing those duties to please the Lord. All men should follow the duties prescribed for them according to their respective social positions. Brahmins may beg for a living, but Kshatriyas may never beg. Even in times of distress, kings and rulers should not accept alms. The Creator has ordained that we should live by gaining lordship over lands and protecting the people. I would not accept this entire earth or even the kingdom of the gods through unrighteousness. So even there, it's not a matter of unrighteousness. It's a matter of he's going. They're simply looking at, oh, you know, so many people die. But that the Kshatriya, they do fight and battle and that, and it's not a sinful activity. So that's that aspect is there. You know, they're simply looking at it a lower thing of social construct, you know, about, you know, it'd be nice and this and feelings and all that on the simply the aspect of morality of benefiting someone else. But the actual point is real reality means morality means pleasing the Lord. And then how things work according to that, that's then the proper thing. Here is Krishna. He knows every facet of Vedic knowledge and possesses full wisdom. Let him decide what is right in this case. I will always follow his dictate and will never ignore his advice. Keshava is our friend and well-wisher. We will hear his opinion and decide what should be done. As Yudhishthir took a seat, Krishna stood. His bodily luster seemed to illuminate the hall with a mystical radiance. Shining yellow silks and gold ornaments framed his complexion, which resembled a blackish autumnal rain cloud. Turning his lotus-petaled eyes towards Sanjaya, he said, O Sanjaya, I desire that both the Pandavas and the Kurus be happy and prosperous. I want peace, and I am happy to see that Dhritarashtra also desires it. Right, so he says that he's desired it, then that's a very good thing. You know, and Yudhishthira is making the point, when did I say I wanted war? Because his message was, we're looking for peace. You know, his point was, is all the wrongs that you've done to us, we'll let that all go if you just give us back our kingdom, and we'll go live our life, you live your life. But they're looking at it, no, you have to let all the wrongs that we've done go, and we continue doing wrong, and then you'll be a saintly person. Yudhishthira has already shown a rare kind of commitment to peace, since that he has been antagonized and abused by the Kurus, right? Because otherwise, if he wasn't interested in peace and Dharma and all that, then right at the gambling match itself, when it got out of hand, when they dragged Draupadi out into the hall, then Yudhishthira would have given the nod. Bhima would have stood up and with his club killed everyone there. I mean, literally everyone. So the whole point is if he wanted to winning, Yudhishthira would have taken care of it a long time ago, but he didn't. He's saying, our elders have invited us, they've agreed to this bogus and, unjust match, cheating match, but they've agreed to it, we're following an authority. Why should he suddenly wish to escalate the conflict between himself and his cousins, right? He's already gone and he's already said he's forgiven them. They've gone through all the different things that they put them through. And so why would he want, after going through all that, 12 years of that, and even that, their whole life, since they came at 5 years old, they've been harassed until they were into their teens and early 20s. You know, so they've constantly been bothered by them. Surely, Sanjaya, you know as well as I do the nature of right and wrong. Why then do you find fault with Pandu's sons, who has always adhered to his duties as they have been laid down in the scriptures since the days of old? Regarding our present discussion, so that's his point, is that first he's pointing out, he's not even getting down to the point, he's just going, why would you try to blame the Pandavas here? They've tried everything to make it work nicely. So therefore, you're intelligent, you know right from wrong. Why would you do that? Regarding our present discussion, there are two schools of thought among the Brahmins. Some say that by renouncing our duties, we shall achieve perfection. And others say that duties should never be renounced, but should be performed without attachment. My opinion concurs with this latter view. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. He says, you give up your duties, and then you'll attain perfection. But the point is you can never give up your duties. You perform your duty without attachment. O Sanjaya, even to maintain himself, a man must perform his duties in this world. Knowledge without work yields no fruit. Krishna lifted a graceful hand as he spoke. See how the gods in heaven shine through work, how through work the wind blows and the sleepless sun gives rise to day and night. Sleepless does the earth, goddess, carry her load, and sleepless do the rivers carry their waters to satisfy all creatures. Indra attained his exalted status by giving up pleasure and sense gratification. This is true of all the principal deities. Knowing this, O Suta, why do you plead on behalf of the Kauravas, exhorting the Pandavas to renounce their prescribed duties? Because that's what they're asking to do. They're saying, you give up your duties, and then there'll be peace. Means there's only a problem, from the Kuru side, there's only a problem because Yudhishthira always talks about doing his duties. You know, he's a saintly person. Just give up your duties and go to the forest. Like that. You are wise and aware of the truth. Then consider this question. Does a king's duty lie in fighting or in not fighting? Right? Surely you know the creator and power of kings with the power to check and even kill miscreants. Dhritarashtra has robbed Yudhishthira of his rightful property. Whether one steals covertly or openly, stealing is sinful. Should Duryodhana and his followers not then face the consequences of their sin? Is Yudhishthira not justified in seeking to recover his stolen property, even if it means killing the robbers? Because it says in Shastra, if you're robbed, you can, and you know, in the pro, you can, the robbers get killed. It's not a sin. So he's, Krishna is now, because he brought in these things from that place, then Krishna is then putting, giving another, a deeper understanding of spiritual progress. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.